Good morning, little Saigon, Seattle. It is October the 9th, 2019. This episode of the Little Saigon Report is brought to you by Flopsy Topsy Toilet Seat Covers. You can't be too careful with your toilet seats these days. You never know who you're going to invite over. You might invite over your Uncle Dan. Uncle Dan showers once or twice a week when he's retired. Retirement for him is that space between working contracts for the evil fucking douchebag software companies of Little Saigon, no King County, fuck you. Seattle, fuck. Flopsy Topsy toilet seat covers come in over 17 different colors. They come in brown. They come in black. And red. Flopsy Topsy toilet seat covers will protect your toilet seat from the crabs, from the herpes, from the VD, from the syphilis, even from that black syphilis those sergeants told me about when I was stationed in Korea, you fuck. Flopsy Topsy toilet seat covers are on sale this week at Bloombeans, right down the street from Rivkin's, not too far from where Dr. Grunkus practices surgery every Thursday night. So come on down to the Flopsy Topsy Toilet Seat Cover Warehouse. Yeah, Flopsy Topsy. Of all the toilet seat covers you can buy on the market today, Flopsy Topsy are 100% cotton, although cotton is spelled with a K, and there's a trademark sign behind it, so I don't really know what cotton means. But it says that it's probably not GMO. I'm not feeling too well, folks. I got a full disclosure here, and this isn't psychological. Typically, the things that plague me are psychological in nature, but yeah, spiritual demons. Rarely do I get physically sick. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm being honest. I don't get sick that often, and it's not like I take great care of myself. In fact, that fits to my general theory that the clean life, the life where you're not exposed to the gunkus, stuff on 12th Avenue, the flesh-eating hand disease, which I'm slowly getting over, it means that your immune system isn't really getting a real workout. It's like when I was stationed in Korea for a year. I was horrified by the number of shots I got going there. I was horrified by the number of injections I got coming back. But the fact is, I think being there for a year and all that shit that the Army put into my body more or less gave my immune system a hardcore marathon workout. I was either going to live or die. And I'm still alive. And that's despite a lot of beer, folks. A lot of beer. I'm not going to tell you how much beer, but more than I should be able to survive. Anywho, I'm currently not feeling great, which is a good excuse to not drink today. And again, folks, when I talk about drinking, I'm not glamorizing it. As a recent listener slash visitor slash friend would at least recognize, having seen how I live my life here with his own eyes, how I live like a king in Little Saigon, this isn't a glamorous life. This is a life. If you have a glamorous life, if you're living on a yacht someplace in the Bahamas, drinking artisanal wine every night as you listen to the Bee Gees as you go to sleep, I'm happy for you. That's not my life. And I'm not complaining, frankly, and I've said this before, and you should meditate on this if you're one of these Futurama freaks, you know, techno utopia freaks, I live better than most of the people on planet Earth. You need to really meditate on that shit, folks. I live better here in Little Saigon in my 200 square foot apartment than most of the people on planet Earth. I have access to more food, more water, more shelter than most of the people on planet Earth. In fact, by Little Saigon standards, I live pretty well. So I hope as you go to sleep tonight, you know, thinking about buying those flopsy-topsy toilet seat covers, you consider that. Anyways, I'm not feeling great. I should be over this throat illness, this weird fever of the body within 12 to 18 hours. That's what my immune system general is telling me if I don't drink. If I drink, it'll take 2 days. Another interesting fact, next topic. I have recently purchased on my last contract, you know, my interstitial period of working between retirement periods. I'm going to, by the way, as a side topic, post a finite state machine chart of how I define retirement at some point. Anyways, on my last contract, I had the cash to buy an H4N Pro Zoom, a Zoom recorder. And in general, I don't really have buyer's remorse, at least not yet. If it lasts a year or two, if it actually lasts a couple years, and if it happens to last 5 years, I'll be happy. I have another recorder, a Tascam. It isn't as good or great or whatever, but it's perfectly fine. And I can always use the Tascam if I need to. But yeah, for now, given my circumstances, given my general wealth level, I don't know if you can hear that. People are dumping their ass trash into the trash can. But one of the things I've learned about the Pro is that you really got to be careful about the mics, the input mics, the left and the right. If you're going to do that, do your research. I bought some relatively cheap condenser microphones, and they behaved like kind of cheap condenser microphones. They're not throwaway. I'm not throwing them away. I'm going to give them away or use them for another purpose. But as far as being additional mics for the Zoom, they just don't work that great. And then, frankly, it gets put into a mode where the only record mode, and again, it's high quality mode, is Wave, which is fine. Wave's great. But for my purposes, I don't want Wave. I want simple. I want MP3. And I know, okay, you can say, Dan, don't you know the studio life? Well, listen, folks, I don't have a studio apartment in that sense. I have a cube, but I don't have like a high-tech recording studio. So what I do is a lot of Kentucky windage with leveling. And when I say leveling, I'm talking about amplitude. I'm talking about volume, how loud things get. Anyways, a lot of my leveling tends to be Kentucky windage. And the problem with these fucking mics is I can't get it right. So I went too cheap, or they just don't work that great with the Zoom. What I've decided is that I'm just going to use the mics on the Zoom and be simply a little bit more clever about it. The fact is, the mics on the Zoom are so good that if I put the mic in the right position, I can probably interview or do a group interview with up to 3 people. And you can always have, you know, a studio guest pop in like Beans. And everyone wants to meet Beans. In fact, that's going to be a TV show. Everyone wants to meet Beans. Yeah, everyone, I'm not going to go there. Anyways, I like the recorder, but I got to get smarter. Because some of these interviews are just not sounding the way I'd like them to. And you know, I'm on a budget here, folks. This isn't the fucking Glenn Beck show or some fucking bullshit Alex Jones. I don't get Israeli funds under the table. In fact, probably the Israelis do everything they can to block my fucking podcast. And not because I hate Jewish people, but because I hate the Israeli government. And if you don't know the difference between hating a government and hating a group of people, then I'm sorry, you're probably somebody thinks that literally AR-15s wake up in the morning and go kill people. like guns actually kill people. Not people. Not people. Not humans. We're such gentle animals. We're so gentle. Ugh, I can't wait till people wake up and realize that not only are we predators, but we are the apex predator that has a lot of psychological issues about it. Like, if we could just accept the fact that we are the apex predator, I don't know. I feel like maybe we would finally come to grips with who we are, and then maybe we could help heal each other and heal the earth. I don't know. But this delusion we live under, that if we eat soy, the world will be a better place. Folks, I promise you, we can turn the world into a toilet bowl eating just tofu. I guarantee fucking it. If you don't think humans can do that, hold my beer. Anyways, next topic. Voting. Okay, now this issue comes up every few years, like the last election when Stephen Molyneux, I think the Canadian libertarian philosopher of great depth, told people he would vote for Trump. And don't get me started on the whole Jordan Peterson cult and cleaning your fucking bedroom, okay? If the argument is you're a douchebag if you have a dirty bedroom, then guess what? Tesla, who often had a dirty fucking apartment, especially towards the end of his life, was a douche according to Jordan Peterson. My theory is Jordan Peterson's the fucking douche. He's a cult leader. If you follow that guy, you're following a cult leader. That's just a side topic. But voting. Because everyone knows voting works. If you are an anarchist, and you say to me in 2020, Dan, you need to vote for Trump. Dan, if you don't vote for Trump, Hillary might win. And yeah, have you heard? Hillary might run again. That's because the Cherokee princess has been lying about a lot of shit. It turns out Elizabeth Warren wasn't just lying about being Cherokee. She's also, she lied about why she was fired, or wasn't really fired, from a job a long time ago. She basically resigned. That's not being fired. Believe me, I know. So Elizabeth Warren is going to be out of the race, and it'll be Hillary versus Trump again. I don't know. It looks like Biden's going to be sucked down by all this Ukrainian bullshit. I have a side bet that the magical candidate of 2020 is going to be Tulsi Gabbard, because I kind of think that she's being set up to be the next Obama. She's coming from Hawaii. She's coming from this angle of being anti-war. And believe me, the history of Democrats being anti-war is as ancient as the history of Democrats starting wars. So if you want to tell me about why you vote Democrat is because you hate the wars, wake the fuck up. Are you a moron? Are you stupid? Did you not hear Hillary joke about the death and assassination through torture of another head of state, Colonel Gaddafi? And yeah, do I love Colonel Gaddafi? Guess what? I don't like any of the fucking crocodiles. But he's no longer with us, is he? I think he died having metal objects shoved up his butt. And Hillary was happy about that. So if you're a fucking Democrat and you claim to be anti-war, please just fuck off. You're such a hypocritical piece of shit. Fuck off. And don't get me started on Republicans being for small government. If you're a Republican and you have supported all these wars since 9/11, you're not only not small government, you're one of the biggest supporters of welfare queens in the history of welfare queens. The entire economy is one big techno-fascist, militaristic, up-your-butt, hypersonic, laser-beam weapon cannon welfare queen. And you, as a Republican, support the welfare queens. Wake the fuck up. But if you're an anarchist in 2020, and you're going to say, Dan, you need to vote for Trump. Well, here's the question I have for all you intelligent anarchists out there who believe in voting. You will constantly make fun of people who believe in democracy. You'll say voting doesn't work. And then you'll come around every 4 years and say, but we have to vote for Trump. So my question is, okay, then voting works? Well, no, Dan, voting doesn't work. So why are you telling me to vote for Trump? Well, we gotta protect our freedoms. Okay, so you're voting to protect your freedom. Well, yeah, Dan, I'm voting to protect my freedom. Oh, shit. Then voting works. You see, this is the problem. If you're a fucking anarchist or even a libertarian, because the Libertarian Party itself is a kind of contradiction. It believes it can have a tiny crocodile that will never become powerful. It will always only arrest rapists and murderers and pedophiles and property crimes and stuff like that. That's the general theory of libertarianism, that you can have a small government that focuses on actual crimes with victims. And I love that theory. It's a great theory. It's never fucking happened. Our founding fathers, given their situation, given the world they were in, were probably 1,000 times more intelligent than your average American today. 1,000 times smarter. Even the dumbest of them was 1,000 times smarter. They decided that all they needed was the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation. That is all they needed. That was literally a free republic. If we had stayed that way, we would still be a free republic today. And yeah, if you want to go to different states and experiment with different bullshit, you would have that option. Great. Go to fucking Rhode Island if you want to live in their fucking magical paradise. Don't fucking move to Seattle and tell me about your fucking real estate pyramid scheme bullshit. But no, we threw that away. So libertarians confuse me too. And libertarians will say, well, I believe in market forces. Really, then why do you vote? Well, I believe in market forces, so maybe we should just settle markets with voting? Well, you don't understand, Dan. You need to read more Milton Friedman. Austrian heresy. You know what, guys? This is all I'm gonna say. There was a Marxist by the name of Kardelj who advised Tito. Now, if you don't know who Marshal Tito was, Marshal Tito fought the Nazis during World War II in this nation that once existed, created by really smart people, called Yugoslavia. It was created basically about 100 years ago. Yugoslavia. It is no longer a country. It turns out that really brilliant, woolly-headed, liberal, educated, progressive pieces of shit come up with really stupid ideas. Okay? The dumbest idea that came out of the Treaty of Versailles was the completely one-directional punishment scheme that sent Germany down the hole. That was the number one stupid idea out of the Treaty of Versailles. One of the next runners up, other than the way they carved up the Middle East, which still brings us joy today. Isn't it so joyful the way those fucking brilliant professors carved up the Middle East? But in addition to that, they created a country called Yugoslavia out of pieces of this and pieces of that. And since from the perspective of the good white people of, Oxford and Paris and fucking Harvard, they all look kind of Slavic. And that Wilson was a racist. If you didn't know that, oh my God, do your research, you stupid fucking Democrat. And they created Yugoslavia. And Kardelj was a Marxist philosopher. And Tito once asked Kardelj, "Kardelj, when will Yugoslavia achieve pure communism?" And so Kardelj went to work. He analyzed the economic statistics. He looked at production numbers. He looked at technology and trends. And Kardelj got back to Marshal Tito and said, it's going to take about 300 years. And I got to tell you, communism never works. So even the 300 years seems grossly optimistic for a death scheme, because communism is essentially a group death scheme, a death cult. You join Marxism, you're joining a death cult. You may not know it at first. Guess what? You'll figure it out along the way. I promise you, you little budding Marxists and communists up there on Broadway. Oh, I really do look forward to you learning. I don't care if I'm swept up in the jail schemes. I don't care if I end up in the death camps. I don't fucking care if I end up in a ditch someplace outside of Bothell. As long as I get to see you stupid fucks with that sad, sad look on your face when you realize that you bought into something that was really quite terrible and a death cult, as long as I get to see that fucking expression on your fucking face, I will be filled with an overwhelming sense of joy. Now, why did I go off on this topic about Kardelj? Because there are libertarians out there who believe that eventually, if they keep voting, they will vote themselves to freedom. And what I am telling you out there explicitly is that even if that scheme were possible, even if we had enough time, and I'm going to tell you something, the crocodile called the United States Empire is filled with tumors. Yeah, it's huge. It's gigantic. It's mostly tumors. There is not 300 years, folks. Okay? There might be 30. I doubt it. I think it's more like 3, probably. But this empire is going to collapse, or this empire will destroy the world. That's what empires do. They blow up, they destroy, or they collapse. And usually, if they collapse in time, we all get a chance to survive. I don't know if we're going to luck out this time. But if you think that voting is going to fix this, then I believe you're living in a fantasy world. Brings us to the next topic about rationalizations. Oh, rationalizations. Like Uncle Dan saying, well, you know, I'm drinking all this beer because Jesus understands. No. Jesus doesn't want me sitting around drinking beer. Okay? I can rationalize that shit all I want to. I can play pretend. I can go to pretend land all I want to. The reality is, the Lord in heaven would prefer for me to not just sit around and drink. So let's talk about rationalizations. A lot of folks who interact with me, have what I would call a specific doom fetish. And before I continue, you all must know I am cosmologically agnostic, which means that until I have been shown the absolute shape of the universe, I leave my mind open. This also applies to the future. And specifically, the future is so unstable right now. In fact, so incredibly unstable that even having a notion of what the future is going to be is a bit ridiculous. It really is. I mean, of my mind, from my perspective, most of the possible futures at this point look kind of shitty. That is true. But that doesn't mean we end up there, because there are possible futures that are not so shitty. They're not really likely, but they're not so shitty. So when I look out into this scenario, this world, this situation we find ourselves in, I encounter a lot of people who have what I would call a specific doom fetish. For example, there are a lot of people who get upset with me because I discuss climate change. Let me tell you guys something, folks. Just because the deep state, uses, I mean, I don't know how to phrase this. In fact, let me rephrase it this way. If the deep state puts a buffoon in charge of something, that isn't because the thing they're putting the buffoon in front of is a joke. In fact, it's probably not a joke. The deep state is dumb, maybe stupid. They're not that fucking stupid. Nobody mocks something that mocks itself. Why would you? So if you see a little Greta going before the world saying, if we don't change now, by the way, we're not going to talk about China, well, that's a clown. That's a buffoon. If you see Al Gore doing the same stupid shit, saying, oh, all the polar bears are going to be gone in 10 years, that's a clown. That's a buffoon. You pick a buffoon or a clown to put them in front of something so you can make fun of it, not to enhance it. So when you're being all critical of Little Greta, the witch hunter, and Al Gore, the witch, you should keep in mind that that does not imply that climate change is bullshit. In fact, it probably implies something that's much worse. that we're being lied to, and it's not that things are really great, but things are really quite fucking terrible. That is the only rational approach to the crocodile. If your approach to the crocodile as an anarchist or libertarian is that sometimes it tells you the truth and sometimes it's nice to you and there are good people in the deep state and Q is telling us that, if that's what you believe, fine. But it's bullshit. A lot of people think they're going to use crypto. My escape hatch, my rationalization is that I bought a ton of Bitcoin and Ether, and I have some Dogecoin and a lot of these other coins. And so when everything falls apart, I'll just go down the crypto hole. And I gotta tell you, folks, that's just too ridiculous to even mock. In order for you to believe that you're going to use a form of currency that requires polynomial time behaviors at best, and probably exponential cost curves in terms of order of magnitude analysis. The idea that you're going to use a crypto that depends upon algorithms that are order of n worse than n squared across a network that will need to be maintained after day zero, I think is crazy. Okay? Best case scenario, there are going to be power outages. There are going to be. And I promise you, after the first two blackouts in the first couple major crypto cities, people will be dumping their fucking crypto for silver and gold as fast as they fucking can. Or whiskey. Or cigarettes. Or tampons. Or toilet paper. And I just listed those items. And I would add 12-gauge shotgun shells. Because all of those items will be money on day zero. But I don't think Bitcoin will be. Okay? If you're a nurse and you know how to treat a gunshot wound, guess what? That will be worth more than a Bitcoin on day zero. And if you're too fucking dumb to realize this, then yeah, you're rationalizing. You're living in the crypto paradise. A lot of people, and I've talked about this, but it's worth underlining, believe they're going to go down the communism tunnel. They'll become Marxists, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. That's a socialist stage. Then comes the dictatorship, the proletariat. Then comes pure communism from each according to their ability to each according to their need. A lot of people think they're going to read the manifesto and read Das Kapital and read Marx's German papers, you know, his quote-unquote, his optimistic papers he wrote before the before the revolutions of 1848. A lot of people think they're going to go down that road, the Marxism road. All I can tell you is to emphasize a point from earlier. That rationalization is a path to a death camp. If you're one of these Venus Project people or one of these quote-unquote left anarchists, what the fuck is a left anarchist? Does that mean you believe you can have a government? Because if it does, you're not an anarchist. I hate to break it to you. But if you're one of these left anarchists who believes in a kind of democratic socialism of the technological future, you're really not an anarchist at all, A. And B, you are going to be very, very fucking disappointed. You will not, it won't be a wonderful, fantastic Donald Fagan IGY future. It won't be spandex jackets for everyone. It will be probably concertina wire for everyone, and I mean surrounding everyone. That's communism. And if you're one of these folks who thinks that we're going to build America on all these continued wars, if you work for a major defense contractor and so you rationalize your existence in terms of the fact that we're always going to need bombs and bullets and missiles to blow people to shit, well, I don't know what to say to you. But what I will say is this: there is no future in war. Never has been. Eventually the human race will either learn that or they will lose their future. That's it. We will either have a future or we will fail to learn that fucking lesson and we will blow each other up. And as of right now, I am not sure which one of those things wins. Based upon the general, I don't know, tenor, the general level of discourse in the United States and the political parties, based upon what President Trump sometimes says between his schizophrenic attacks on Twitter, it's hard to say. Some days it looks like we're trying to, you know, downsize these wars, which, again, I don't vote for crocodile kings, but yeah, less war is better. In fact, no war would be perfect. But I also know that politicians are good at the rope-a-dope. And one aspect of the war rope-a-dope, in fact, the key aspect of the warfare rope-a-dope is to convince your population that you really don't want war. We sent James Baker, to talk to Saddam. It was January 1991. James Baker tried so very hard for Papa Bush, but they refused. They refused. Yeah, part of the dance in America towards war is twofold. One, the leader always pretends he doesn't want war. So if you're one of these Trumpkins who's saying, well, God, Trump seems like he's anti-war, just hold your fucking, yeah. Slow your roll for a second, okay? He's not out of office yet. And if you're, and he may just be way better at the art of the deal. And so in understanding the basic technique of pretending you want peace, he may just be amping that up. I frankly don't know. But just because he looks like he's seeking peace doesn't mean that that's the real direction. That's the first component. Pretend that you want peace. The second component is a false flag. And believe me, the history of U.S. false flags probably goes back almost to the very beginning, but certainly goes back to the Spanish-American War. If there was a war that was started over a false flag, the Spanish-American War would have been the first one. It was not a necessary war. We did not need it. However, if you're going to put the United States on the path to empire, then you need the Spanish-American War. The Spanish Empire at that time, more than 100 years ago, was basically falling apart. And so all of these little territories, principalities, were either going to become independent and free, or some other crocodile was going to scoop them up. Places like Puerto Rico, the Philippines, Cuba. If you're one of these Americans who rationalizes his or her existence on the basis of participating in the warfare state, I'm not going to rebuke you morally. You have to sleep with your own soul. You have to meet Jesus on Judgment Day. Now, if you're a Satanist or an atheist, you don't give a fuck. But if you actually believe in God, you're going to have to explain to God how it is you live a decent kingdom life supporting a war machine that has murdered millions of people since 9/11. That will be on you. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the straight fucking dope. If I carry the burden of having been an atheist most of my life, I promise you, if you work for the warfare state, you carry that burden to your grave. And then one of my favorite last rationalizations before we move on is the shale oil rationalization. Shale's a gimmick, folks. It always was, always will be, but it's worse than a gimmick. It is a gimmick that is destroying groundwater. It is a gimmick that is destroying communities. It is a gimmick that is simply racking up debt. Shale doesn't make money. It really never did. There is no price point. There is no clearing price for shale oil. For shale to make money, you would have to sell a barrel of shale oil, which, oh, by the way, every barrel of shale oil has about 20% less energy than a barrel of conventional oil. Something you should factor into your mental calculus when you're doing barrels of oil. It is not the same. It is not the same quality. But anyways, yeah, good old shale oil does not make money, hasn't made money, is polluting the communities in which it operates. It is a welfare queen. In December of 2014, Obama and the Republicans joined forces to backstop all derivatives all junk bonds in the shale patch. Now, if you're telling me that's a sign of prosperity, you're full of shit. Yeah, the price at which shale can make money in real terms, not nominal terms, because we live in funky money fiat world, so we gotta think relative. In relative terms, as of right now, a price point for money for shale would be north of $100 a barrel. At least $100 a barrel. Period. The price that the world economy can pay right now, guess what, is probably closer to 35 or 40. Now, the only way you can make up that gap, and this is what every banker has known since the middle 2000s, the only way you can make up that gap with shale is debt. And a lot of fucking junk bonds. If you're one of these folks that think shale is going to save us, that's our magical escape hatch, let's pretend that it has zero environmental impact with just total bullshit. It does not make money. If you're one of these people who makes fun of welfare queens and you work in the shale patch, I gotta laugh, man. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're the number one welfare queen. You're not only stealing wealth through taxation and through debt, because that's what's actually going on. You're not just doing that, but you're stealing the natural wealth. Okay? You're destroying the natural stuff that other people might want to depend upon one day to, I don't know, grow food. Maybe even have safe water to drink. And who the fuck ever heard of so many fucking earthquakes in Oklahoma in the last fucking 10 years? You know what? This is all part of the same fucking bullshit, folks. You can rationalize all you want to. You can pretend that you have a magical escape hatch. I don't fucking care. But please stop emailing me and telling me that if I only picked the right doom scenario, everything would be okay. None of the likely scenarios we are facing, including the shale oil, let's make oil the way the Nazis did at the end of the war scenario, none of these scenarios work. They don't make money. You simply go broke. We all need to stop rationalizing and hoping there's a magical escape hatch. I kind of think there isn't, folks. Maybe the magical escape hatch is really this simple. We need to get to know our neighbors. We need to evaluate our surroundings. We need to ask ourselves, how many miles away is the nearest boiling water reactor? Yeah, that's one of the fucking questions you should be asking yourself right now. Do you live within 200 miles of a boiling water nuclear reactor? Do you? 200 miles boiling water nuclear reactor. If you do, then I would probably fucking move. Now, I'm not sure where you're going to go in the States east of the Mississippi, but there are a few places, I guess, west of it. There are questions you should ask. You should get to know your neighbor. You should investigate your surroundings. For a couple hours a day, you should put down your fucking smartphone and go for a walk around your neighborhood. See what's going on. These are smart things to do. Understand your terrain. But hoping and praying that there's a magical secret way to avoid the pain that's coming, eh, that's not going to help you on day zero. That's actually going to make you sad. Next topic. Okay, so, and I've discussed this a little bit in the past. This has to do with 23andMe. Oh, man. And then Fox has this new show about these, I guess, sisters that discovered their sisters through genetic testing. Fuck. And of course, there, I'm sure that, I don't even know this show yet, but I can just guess that there's some ethnic stuff there, and there's some good old-fashioned white woman stuff there. And there's some lesbo stuff there. And probably this new Fox show is being funded. I think it's called Almost Family or some bullshit. It's probably being funded by 23andMe or one of the fucking genetic testing companies, but I don't give a fuck. Anyways, I had had family members in recent months tell me that I should get tested. I won't do it. And it's not because I don't want my DNA to end up in some database. I was in the military in the 90s. They were more than into the game of taking samples of people's blood for genetic purposes back then. So, yeah, along with millions of other former soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen, all of my junk is in a database someplace. It's not about that. I won't do it because I'm not gonna feed this ridiculous obsession with what I can only call, and what frankly intelligent people 100 years ago would call, blood science, which is also part of Nazism. If you want to know, it is. It's related. Blood science is related to Nazism. So yeah, I don't get into it. But anyways, some of my family members decided to do it. And here's what we found out. We found out that my grandmother, who is my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, yeah, we found out that my maternal grandfather wasn't. That in fact, it was this other guy at a logging camp. Now, I want you to imagine a logging camp in the Pacific Northwest in the 1920s or 30s, okay? I want you to imagine a 16-year-old girl surrounded by a bunch of men in a logging camp in the 20s and 30s. And if your first guess is, well, it was West Side Story, it was romantic, it was Romeo and Juliet. No, it wasn't. She was probably raped. I'm going to lay on a little secret here, folks. In general, one of the ways you would deal with rape back then was to get someone else, to take on a woman you don't want, a woman that's pregnant, a woman that you probably raped. And since I think she was under 18, maybe even 16 when this happened. Yeah. And for those of you out there, well, you know, back then, blah, 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 blah. You know what, folks? Back in the day, people used to cut the hearts out of people. Back in the day, they used to sacrifice virgins. Back in the day, I mean, there's still slavery today. There's still human trafficking. But back in the day, it was definitely an on, above the table exercise. Folks, we have been doing heinous shit to each other for too goddamn long, and we have been using the excuse of back in the day too fucking often, if you ask me. So you can pretend all you want to that there was a 16-year-old girl in a logging camp in the 30s that voluntarily had sex with probably a much older man. And then the man got her pregnant and was ashamed of her, so another man took her up who probably really didn't want to be with her. Maybe he did. I honestly don't know. Based upon what I saw of my grandfather's behavior towards us growing up, I did not get the feeling that he really cared for us. Because, again, no biological connection at all. And for those of you who say, well, biology's not important, it is kind of important. It is kind of important from the perspective of parents. People do have those different kinds of feelings. I know that people say, I adopted. I'm sure that happens, but folks, I'm telling you right now, it does count. It matters. It matters to the parents. It matters to the kids. Yeah, the great joy of 23andMe is that I get to meditate on a 16-year-old kid that was in a logging camp and was probably raped. And if you're telling me, well, Dan, it was probably Romeo, no. I worked around loggers in the 80s, okay? Not the 1880s, not the 1930s, the 1980s. And if the evolution of the logger by the 1980s is any representation of the logger in the 30s, then yeah, probably rape. And oh, I'll let you know another little secret too. A lot of women were raped back in the day. Oh shit, did I blow your fucking mind? You see, here's the thing that I don't think a lot of women understand, and boy, I would meditate on this. In the coming weeks and months and years, if you are female, you need to fucking meditate on this. Me, I'm 50 years old. I know I'm going to be gone on day two. Okay? Once all the potheads realize Uncle Ike's is shut down, once all the potheads don't know where to get their weed and they start getting hungry and wanting to get high, they will smell the scent of me like a polar bear from 20 miles away. Can smell its prey. They will smell me and they will hunt me and I will end up in a Campbell stew. I'm not lasting long is my fucking point, and I don't give a fuck. I just want to see the look on people's faces before I go. But if you're a woman out there and you've bought into seeing Scarlett Johansson using kung fu, kicking Iron Man's butt or whatever, believing that a 150-pound woman can throw a 300-pound man someplace. Listen, if you're a woman out there right now and you're wondering what you should be doing, put down your fucking smart device and learn how to use a gun. Those ancient times were not filled with makeup. Women didn't shave their legs. People did not clean their junk. If you have some fantasy because you watch some stupid show where everyone looks like they're clean and well-dressed and well-fed because some TV show told you that, that's not reality either. Oh, I'm sorry. And here's another thing, too. We're not headed backwards. We don't get to go back to the 19th century. Oh, did no one tell you that, too? That's not how it works, folks. You don't ratchet things up the way we have, and you get to go back. You don't. Collapse doesn't work that way. When the Roman Empire collapsed, they didn't collapse back into the Hellenistic states. No, that's not what happened. They took basically most of Western civilization with them. That's how collapse works, folks. I'm simply telling you, if you're a woman out there, you need to be fucking careful, because if you're depending upon traditional male values to save you, when you've spent the last 50, 60 years as feminists telling us that traditional male values are bullshit and terrible and men are just animals, you have fed the beast. You have created a monster. There will be men in the streets, I promise you, by day 7, and you'll want to be walking the other way. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my grandma, but I'm simply being honest. You want to tell me you believe it was Romeo and Juliet? I'm telling you, 75% chance she was raped. Because the rest of the story doesn't go towards Romeo and Juliet. The rest of the story goes towards shame. That's why you take the girl and you force marry her or get a friend to marry her. Because you're probably married yourself. You probably have your own family, and you probably raped a 16-year-old girl. Isn't 23andMe great? All the little truths we get to learn? And don't get me started on all you folks that, you know, don't know who your parents are. I tell you, if it weren't for all the chaos already going on, I would ask all of you to get genetically tested. Because my guess is a fair percentage of you were given to the wrong people when you were born. Now, what's the percentage? Is it 5%? Is it 10%? I worked in hospitals, okay? I worked in those death buildings. Yeah. If this is a place, the hospital's a place where the surgical nurse has to use a magical marker to mark a leg saying, don't cut this leg off. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll wager 5 to 10% maybe. Back in the day. And maybe even to this day, but certainly back in the day, 5-10% maybe. So if you're between the ages of 30 and 50, I would suggest you do a lot of this genetic testing, because you might find out that you don't know who your parents are, and then you can sue the fuck out of these hospitals. Because guess what? It will be a feeding frenzy. Oh yeah, 23andMe, you'll get a lot of business, and there'll be a lot of hospitals that will get really, really, really pissed off. But my guess is the reason why these genetic companies are pushing it is because they're being funded by the healthcare system. They know the hospital's fucked up. So they're already doing under-the-table agreements. I promise you, they're trying to trawl the fucking genetic code of America to make sure they can cover up all their fucking hospital birthing mistakes. Next topic, and it's kind of a gloomy one. Oh, but yeah, gloomy topics, that's so rare for the little Saigon flopsy-topsy toilet seat hour. There is a link to a YouTube video. I don't know much about it in terms of the dude. I have simply watched his three videos. The video link I'm going to include in my SoundCloud post for this podcast will point to two additional videos. So there's like three videos, but the link I'll show is only a link to one. I don't think I'm going to paste the others. I'll let you do your own fucking investigation. But if you investigate, you know, Seattle false flag, November the 3rd, 2019, 11-3-2019, or as the German points out, in European style, it's 3-1-1, November the 3rd. Yeah, you'll find videos from this dude, and he believes that on November the 3rd, either a nuclear weapon or something that looks like a nuclear weapon, which would be like a fuel air bomb, is going to be used in Seattle. And it even sounds like it might be used at the football stadium. It's a Sunday. He tries to draw a connection to this movie called Black Sunday. Honestly, this guy draws so many strange connections, and they're all a little bit spooky, and a lot of them do seem like, you know, John Nash in A Beautiful Mind connecting a bunch of magazine articles together with yarn. It's a little bit out there. I mean, I don't tend to beat up on people for developing conspiracy theories because I know what any intelligent person in America should know, that I'm being lied to all the time. So I'm not going to just say, poo-poo, that can't be true, because how the fuck do I know really what is true at this point? Oh, because CNN told me? Oh, I listen to Talk of the Nation on NPR. Diane Rehm. This is Diane Rehm. Talk of the Nation. Today we're talking with Elon Musk about pooping on the moon. Yeah. So there is a German who believes that on November the 3rd of this year, which means less than a month away, either a fuel air bomb or a nuclear weapon will be used on Seattle, and this very well could be to trigger World War III. Now, as you well know, as if you listen to me, I'm of the opinion that World War III is definitely on the menu, just because people are that crazy and that stupid at every level. I think if you're depending upon human competence, the human capability to solve problems in effective ways, if that is what you're depending upon in 2019, I think that that's not a great idea. And let me talk about Seattle for a bit, because here's the problem. If you're going to do a false flag at this point, let's ignore the German and November the 3rd, because y'all know I got kind of obsessed with September the 11th, 2019. In part because it was one of these interesting numbers, you know, 9119. It just seemed interesting. But again, it depends upon how you create the date. If you do it European style, it doesn't quite work the same way. But, 9119. Nothing happened. Great news. Nothing happened. But when you're thinking about something like this, the other question is where? Because 9/11 was terrible. It was really terrible, and it shocked the nation. I don't believe we remotely understand the truth about it. They give us these little teasers like, oh, Saudi Arabia. Yeah, you know, it was kind of obvious that Saudi Arabia was involved from day one, given the number of Saudis that were supposedly flying these planes. But whatever, they keep trying to, you know, give us little dribbles of a story that make it seem like somehow the United States didn't plan it along with Israel. But the fact is, I suspect Israel and the United States worked together on some level for our good friend 9/11. But here's the problem. It was bad. It was terrible. It was several thousand Americans and several million more people afterwards that were murdered because of these wars. And in general, people are kind of becoming desensitized. Like, a lot of this is no longer affecting them. Even these fucking random fucking gun shootings and all these gun-free zones, people are just not getting that, you know. I really don't think it's impacting people in the same way. So it might be the case that for various reasons, they're going to have to amp it up. And I've said this before, since 2015, so for at least 4 years, I suspected that the next 9/11, when it happens, will probably be a nuclear weapon. It just makes too much sense. It can't be another fly a couple planes into buildings. People won't buy it, and B, it won't be bad enough. People will need more. They'll need something really terrible, something so terrible that for them to admit the truth would be impossible. That's the thing about these big lies. These big lies work in part because the truth is too hard to accept. Now, 9/11, we have enough distance from it that people can start to think about it and say, well, 9/11 doesn't make any sense, but it's years ago. And the damage has been mostly done. You have a generation of people that basically believe the government story. They're told in public school the story every fucking year. It's hammered into their fucking heads and they believe it. So if you want to get the American people rallied up to blow up a country or two at this point, beyond the countries we've already blown up, you probably have to do something worse than 9/11. And it probably has to be orders of magnitude worse, which means 10 times. Well, what's 10 times worse than 3,000? That's 30,000 dead. It would have to be in that vicinity. And let's talk about Seattle for a second. Yes. Seattle is a home of technology and lots of people have money, although, to be blunt, a lot of the rich people live on the east side. So if the right type of nuke is used in Seattle, given its topography, they might not be affected. If it's a small tactical nuke, if it's around 10 kilotons, it will take out a nice little part of Seattle, and there'll probably be some fallout, but it probably, well, then again, given the wind direction, yeah, probably people on the east side would have to evacuate. So this would be really bad. So why would you do it in Seattle? Because there are a lot of people, deep state people, who have property, who have investments in Seattle. Why would you do it? It would probably have to be a neutron bomb, which would have an obvious signature, or a fuel air bomb, which would also have an obvious signature, because you wouldn't want to use a really dirty bomb. You wouldn't want to use a bomb that, basically made parts of Seattle uninhabitable for a very long time. You probably would use a fuel air bomb for that reason alone. So, and this German dude, he believes it's not going to be a nuke. It's going to be some type of explosion that seems like a nuke. Well, the next closest thing you have to a nuke is really a fuel air bomb. You can talk about Moab, the mother of all bombs, all you want to, but that one has way too obvious a signature, and the thing is gigantic. It's going to be slowly floating down. There's going to be people with cameras who are going to see the thing go off. So it's probably not going to be a Moab rolled out of the back of a C-130 or even some Russian plane. It probably won't be that. Or an AN-2 Colt, like the North Koreans have the AN-2 Colt. They might be able to shove a Moab into that, I don't know. I don't think the AN-2 has cargo capacity for something that big. But a fuel air bomb could be done, but even the fuel air bomb would be obvious. You would see it. These things, fuel air bombs actually have to release the fuel at a certain stage. So you would actually see the bomb gassing out before it exploded. So it's hard to say it would be a fuel air bomb, to be honest. So I think it probably would be a tactical nuke and probably something closer to what would be a neutron bomb, which is good because you have a lower signature, lower residual radiation. All in all, you achieve your goals and you get the nuke event. And here's the thing, a nuke event is a nuke event. If the people in charge of the investigation are the people in charge of setting off the nuke, then no one's going to know the signature. No one's going to know the truth. Another thing too, we might be entering a stage of the economy, and it's not something tech people like to talk about, because all the tech people love to talk about is quote unquote post-scarcity. Post-scarcity is bullshit, people. It's total fucking bullshit. But I promise you, when I see the robots cleaning up the garbage off of the streets in Little Saigon, I might slowly begin to believe in post-scarcity. But until then, post-scarcity is bullshit. So if post-scarcity is bullshit, and tech might be dead in a way, like we might be at the point where we're not really getting additional productivity for all the tech we have, then maybe a tech area would be sacrificial, be okay. I mean, that's the thing. Maybe it would be okay to set off a nuke in Seattle. Plus, here's another possibility. I do not know the geology of Western Washington, but if there is one chance in hell that there is any oil at all underneath King County, then I could, that's another good fucking reason for setting off a tactical nuke. Yes, you'll have radiation. Yes, you'll have some fallout. It won't be that much. It won't be that bad. The oil is down so deep, it will not be impacted. What you will get is an excuse to come in and say, holy shit, you know, it's terrible that Russia or China or Iran did this to us, but we discovered oil, and it's a good news story, and it's going to be morning in King County again. And everybody will have an oil job. So I don't know. But I will leave that link in the podcast, and you can look at it yourself. From day to day, I don't know what's going to happen next. I think we're in... to say we're in strange times is a very mild description. I would say we are in unsettling times. Last topic, more or less. In 1991, after the end of the first Gulf War, there was a rebellion amongst a people called the Kurds in northern Iraq. Now, before we talk too much about this, you need to keep in mind, United States, CIA, United States Department of Defense helped Saddam Hussein get chemical weapons that they knew Saddam Hussein would use on his own people, including specifically the Kurds, which he did. Saddam Hussein gassed the Kurds. I think it was 1987. But the point is, he did it, and he probably did it more than once. And he did it with our help, and the help of the German government. That's what actually happened. At the end of the first Gulf War, in 1991, the Kurds were in an uprising. We had a no-fly zone over the Kurdish protection zone, or whatever. And Papa Bush, the Bush that is now dead, thank the Lord in heaven that he's dead and probably in hell playing with Beelzebub, Papa Bush created what is really the recurrent little orphan Annie of the Middle East, and that's the Kurds, the Kurdish region, the Kurdish Republic, the Kurdish people. And yeah, these are real fucking people. So are the fucking Irish people. How about we form an army and retake Northern Ireland? For Ireland. No, we're not going to do that. Did you know that Kaliningrad was once called East Prussia? Did you know that Kaliningrad was home to Königsberg? Do you know that that was the place where Immanuel Kant lived? You can't get more fucking German than that. Does that mean the Germans should invade Kaliningrad? Maybe. We even fucked up times, people. Fucked up times. What I'm going to tell you is that since 1991, the Kurds have been the little orphan Annie of neocon foreign policy. Every time people want to get the fuck out of the Middle East, every time we want to just disentangle from all these foreign, bizarre, evil entanglements, especially with Saudi Arabia, what a fucking crooked-ass nation they are, and they are an ally? They are crooked as fuck. Yeah, they behead a lot of people. They are rapey and greasy and disgusting, and they are an ally. And so is Israel. A really shitty country. A really violent country. And yeah, they have the hydrogen bomb. Which is great, right? The Kurds exist for one purpose only. And that is to constantly beat the American people over the head into submission for whatever recent new military adventure is in the planning office. What I'm going to say to you right now, as I end this podcast, is fuck the Kurds. I'm not saying I don't care about them. I care about people. I care about my family. I care about my nephew, who is in the Navy. I care about a lot of people. I care about the whole fucking human race, but I can't solve all their fucking problems. And for the life of me, I don't know why the problems of the Kurds rank any higher than anyone else's problems. Okay? I read an article today that women in Sweden are afraid to leave their home. They're afraid to go out. They're afraid to go for a walk because they might get raped. I tell you what, I care more about that fucking problem than the problem of the Kurds. I care more about France, which was once one of the great nations of Western civilization tumbling into a half-assed Islamic republic of grossness and pedophilia. I care more about that. I care more about this Epstein thing that we've all covered up that probably is related to one of the biggest conspiracies, crimes, whatever you want to call it, one of the biggest collective criminal conspiracies involving the victimization of children in the last 100 years, and we all just covered it up. We all pretended it didn't happen. Oh yeah, the cameras, they just magically stopped working. Boy, technology's trustworthy. And for you rationalizers who focus on technology, listen, every time I see that Metro bus sign telling me it's June the 23rd, and every day is June the 23rd, I think about all you techno-utopian fucktards. I think about you. I think about the cameras in Epstein's cell that magically did not work. But above all else, before I go, fuck the Kurds. Fuck them. I don't care. I know it's horrible. I know that they're probably going to be attacked from every direction, and I don't give a fuck. They are bullshit. They are a CIA form of bullshit. They are the same type of bullshit as the White Helmets. In fact, you know what? If the Kurds are in so much trouble and the White Helmets are so fucking courageous, why don't the White Helmets go help the fucking Kurds? Yeah, White Helmets, we have an alert message. The CIA, being so trustworthy, is no longer helping the Kurds. White Helmet alert. Yeah, and the White Helmets will go there and they'll probably rape a bunch of kids and behead a few others. Last but not least, all joking aside about flopsy-topsy toilet seat covers, if you listen to my podcast and you enjoy it, I have a link, a Venmo link on my podcast homepage on SoundCloud. Feel free to donate through Venmo if you can. I appreciate your help. I appreciate your support. If you don't like Venmo, you can email me. My email link is also on my homepage, and we can figure something else out. But the bottom line is Venmo works for me right now, okay? And if you're going to say, well, Dan, why aren't you doing crypto? Well, you know what? Crypto's a tool, okay? Crypto's a tool. And if I met a carpenter who was an anarchist and he started calling himself a hammer anarchist or a saw anarchist, I would mock that guy. So if you call yourself a crypto anarchist, I mock you. I am an anarchist. Crypto is a tool. If it works, I use it. Fuck you. If it doesn't work, I don't. Fuck you. And please donate if you can.